Will you please turn to Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Exodus, chapter 17, we begin with verse 8 through verse 16. Exodus, chapter 17, verse 8. And Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." And Joshua did as Moses had said to him, to fight with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses raised his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on this side and one on that side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua broke the power of Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And Jehovah said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, that I would utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens." And Moses built an altar, and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And he said, "For the hand is on the throne of Jah. Jehovah will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." And the same book, chapter 32, Exodus chapter 32, verse 17, Exodus chapter 32, verse 17. And Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, and said to Moses, "There is a shout of war in the camp." And he said, "It is not the sound of a shout of victory, neither is it the sound of a shout of defeat. It is the noise of alternate singing I hear." Chapter 33, verse 11. And Jehovah spoke with Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. And he returned to the camp, but his attendant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not from within the tent. The book of Numbers. Chapter 14. Numbers, chapter 14. We begin with verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of them that searched out the land, rent their garments. And they spoke to the whole assembly of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it out is a very, very good land. If Jehovah delight in us, he will bring us into this land, and give it us a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against Jehovah, and fear not the people of the land, for they shall be our food. Their defense is departed from them, and Jehovah is with us. Fear them not." And the whole assembly said that they should be stoned with stones. And the glory of Jehovah appeared in the tent of meeting to all the children of Israel. In the past, we have been considering together the eight men in the book of Genesis. We mentioned that God's interest is in man. He wants a certain kind of man. That man which is conformed to the image of his only beloved son. And for this reason, we find how he worked and worked and worked. In the five persons we find in the book of Genesis. And as you put these five persons together, you see the man that God is really after. Now, after God has gotten his man, then we continue to consider that God will use that man to do his work. And that we find in the life of Moses. How Moses was raised up by God and used by God to do his work as a servant. Now this morning we would like to continue on to see in Joshua the soldier of the Lord. You know, God not only wants man, he not only wants that man to be his servant, but on the other hand, you'll find that man is also a soldier of the Lord. Of course, first of all, we must be that man, because that is the most important thing. God's emphasis is always on the being, not on the doing. If we are not what we are, we cannot do what he wants us to do. But after we be what he wants us to be, then naturally, out of that being will come forth doing. That is, we will be doing the work that God has appointed us to do. Not just to do any kind of work, but to do his work. And yet you find, at the same time, there is a conflict going on. A conflict that has been going on throughout the centuries. It is a conflict between God and his enemy, Satan. It is a conflict between the kingdom of God and the power of darkness. It is a conflict between God's purpose and Satan's obstruction. Spiritually, you'll find there is a battle going on throughout the centuries. And we who are redeemed of the Lord are very deeply involved in that conflict. But we must remember, first of all, that it is the battle of the Lord. In other words, it is not your battle or my battle. That is to say, it is not something that you or me will just fight it out by ourselves. It is not. The Bible tells us that it is the battle of the Lord. And we are just joined in that battle under the banner of our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this battle, we are all involved. And because we are involved in this spiritual battle, that is the reason why we need to learn something about soldiering. In other words, we need to know, how can we be good soldiers of Jesus Christ? You remember, in Paul's letter to Timothy, in the second letter to Timothy, how he said, share the sufferings with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, we are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are not just here. Take it easy. Now, in one sense, we do rest in the Lord. And yet, in another sense, we are in a fight. And for this reason, we have to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And look at Paul himself. At the end of his life, he can declare that he has fought the good fight. So, brothers and sisters, do remember this. That we are not only children of God, enjoying his life, to be conformed to the image of God's Son. We are also the servants of the Lord. Every one of us are called to serve him in many different ways, but with the same purpose. And at the same time, we are all being enlisted by the Lord in his army. And there is a fight that we have to fight. And for this reason, I think we can learn a great deal from Joshua. In a sense, I feel Joshua is the first soldier of the Lord in the Bible. Now, it doesn't mean that before him nobody fought. As a matter of fact, Abraham, you remember, he led 318 of the young men that he trained in his own home, and he led this small group to fight against the four kings and defeated them. But as we read the Word of God, it seems to me that Joshua is presented to us as the soldier of the Lord. He seems to be the first one who is specialized, as it were, in the battle. As you open the Bible and find Joshua, you'll find the first mentioning of Joshua is in Exodus chapter 17. Here you'll find the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. And while they were traveling in the wilderness, God rained manna upon them to be their food. And with the smitten rock, out of the smitten rock, river, water came forth to be their drink. But after they had eaten the manna, and they had drunk the water out of the smitten rock, that gave them the strength to go on the journey, suddenly you'll find the Amalek came out to fight against them. And when the Amalek came to fight against the people of God, Moses chose Joshua to lead the Israelites to fight against the Amalek. Now, this is the first mentioning of Joshua. Joshua, the son of Nun, his former name was Hoshea, which means deliverer. But Moses gave him another name. Moses called him Joshua, which means Jehovah is Savior. Now, in Hebrew, it is Joshua. In Greek, it is Jesus. We do not know why Moses chose Joshua to lead the battle. Evidently, Joshua must be a person who was known to be a soldier. In other words, he was trained in fighting. And for this reason, Moses chose this young man to lead the fight. You know, brothers and sisters, after we are redeemed, after we came out of the world, after we crossed the Red Sea and were baptized unto Christ Jesus, we are on a journey. But the world is a wilderness. And how can we go through the world? We need supplies. And thank God we find that we have our manna. Our manna is our Lord Jesus. You remember in John chapter 6, the Lord said how God gave manna to the children of Israel. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. So we find that as we journey through the world, we do have supplies. God has provided for our needs. Christ is our manna. He is our food. And not only that, but we find we need drink too. And out of the smitten rock came forth the water. And the smitten rock, of course, speaks of our Lord Jesus, as you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that the smitten rock is our Lord Jesus. How our Lord Jesus was smitten on the cross, that out of him come through, the river of life, the spirit of life. So today we do thank the Lord that as we journey through this world, God has provided for our needs. He has given us Christ to be our food. And we can feed upon him day after day, to receive our strength. And he has given us the Holy Spirit who dwells in us as a fountain, and even as rivers of living water that flows out from us. So we are well supplied to journey through this world. And because of this, you find the enemy comes. Immediately after they were supplied with food and drink. Now thank God, not before that. God does not allow the enemy to attack us before we are amply supplied. Now thank God for that. He said, you will not be tempted above that which you are able to bear. In other words, He will supply you first. He knows what's going to happen. And He will supply all you need with Christ Himself and the Holy Spirit. And with that, we are well able to meet our enemies. And sure enough, the enemy comes. The Amalek came. Now, who are the Amaleks? If you read Genesis chapter 36, you will find that Amalek is a descendant of Esau. So Amalek in the scripture always represents the flesh. The flesh. Our flesh. Your flesh. My flesh. You know, after we know the Lord, after we have experienced Christ as our food and the Holy Spirit as our drink, we will discover immediately that a conflict comes upon us. And the conflict that comes upon us at that time actually is the conflict between the spirit and the flesh. You remember in Galatians chapter 5, it is said, the spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the spirit. In other words, we are the Lord's. We have His spirit in us. And we are supposed to walk according to the spirit. And it is at that time that we discover there is the flesh there. Whether it is the flesh in you or whether it is the flesh around you in other people, you find there is the flesh there. And the flesh always try to struggle against the spirit so that you cannot do what God wants you to do. In other words, the flesh is trying to frustrate you, to block you, to hinder you from arriving at God's purpose for you. And I do believe that every believer will find that kind of conflict in his life. And it comes very early in your Christian life. Oftentimes you'll find that your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And there is the conflict going on. And you know, the flesh actually is used by the enemy as a tool. Your flesh, my flesh, the flesh that is in me. Paul said, in me that is in my flesh, there is no good. And this flesh is actually used by the enemy as a tool. Try to frustrate God's purpose. Try to hinder you from possessing your possession. And this is what Amalek represents. But thank God, here you'll find Joshua. He led the people to fight against the Amalek. Now, the Bible never tells us where did Joshua learn the military art. We know Moses was a great soldier. According to tradition, while he was in Egypt, he was a great general. But we didn't know how Joshua learned military art. We do know. We did not know that. As if he is a natural soldier. And dear brothers and sisters, do you not know that you and I, all of us, are born soldiers? By born soldiers, I mean born again soldiers. Why? Because the life that we receive is a life that overcomes. Remember, we are born to a military family. We have a tradition. As we are born into the family of God, we are born into a military family. And the blood that is within us is a blood of soldiery. It is a life that overcomes. Think of the life that you have received. It is not a common life. The life that we receive from God, the life of Christ Jesus in us, now think of that life. That life has been upon this earth for 33 years. That life has gone through many battles. That life has gone through all kinds of battles. Temptations, praises, popularities, persecutions, directly from the devil, indirectly from the people, from the family circle, from his own disciples, and from the world. You find that life has gone through all kinds of conflicts, all kinds of battle. You cannot think of any kind of battle that this life hasn't gone through. And yet you find he was tempted in all things, but sinned not. You find that life has gone through all the battles of life and come out victoriously. It has even gone through death and comes out in resurrection life. So this is the life that wins. Now, brothers and sisters, when you think of a life that wins, it means that it is a fighting life. It is a life that has fought the battle and has won the battle. And this is the life that we have received. Now, do, brothers and sisters, think of this. The life that we have received is not a common life. It's not an old life that is always defeated. But the life that we have received, the new life that is now in you and me, is the life that overcomes. Is the life that wins. We have that fighting spirit within us. And thank God, with that kind of life, we are able to fight against our enemies and to overcome them. Joshua led the people to fight against the Amalek. And it was a very real battle. It was a fierce battle. And yet, the outcome of the battle was not decided by the actual fighting. The outcome of the battle was decided by the lifting of the hands of Moses. Moses went to the top of the hill. And when his hands were lifted, Joshua prevailed. But when his hands became so tired, and his hand began to come down, then Joshua was defeated. And because of this, you find Aaron and Hur stood by Moses, and one lift his right hand, and one lift his left hand to support him, until the enemy was completely routed. Now, brothers and sisters, why is it? I believe that this shows us the nature of the battle. The battle we are involved in is not fighting against flesh and blood. Now, sometimes we forget. You know, sometimes we are so frustrated, we are so blocked or hindered or squeezed in by flesh and blood, and we forget that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We begin to put our blame on this one or that one, but that is not the nature of the battle. We have to look behind it, and we have to see the battle is the battle of the Lord. And the battle actually is a spiritual battle. It is true that on the field, there is real fighting going on. In other words, you're involved there. You are struggling, you are fighting, you are straining, you are stretching. Now, all these are very real. It is not a make-believe, but it is very real. You are fighting, but on the other hand, there is something even realer than this, more real than this. And that is, it is a battle in the heavenlies. Here you will find Moses when his hands were lifted up. Now we know the lifted up of hands is a sign of prayer. Here you'll find Moses was interceding on the top of the hill. And while he was interceding, Joshua prevails. Brothers and sisters, what is the nature of the fight? We believe that our Lord Jesus, on Calvary's cross, he has fought the battle and won. There on the cross, our Lord Jesus has completely defeated the enemy. He has crushed the head of the serpent. The victory is final. The victory is complete. He has led his enemies and make a public show of his enemies. In other words, on Calvary's cross, our Lord Jesus has won the battle forever. And it is on the basis of the victory of Christ on the cross that we are able to win over our enemies. Why the lifted up of hands? Through prayer, we are joined to the victory of Christ. So remember, when we fight against our flesh. Now, do not think that just by struggling and striving, you will be able to overcome your flesh. Or trying to suppress your flesh, trying to ill-treat your body, and thinking that by doing all these things, you're able to overcome your flesh. You cannot. Just like the reformer, Melanchthon, he was the theologian of Reformation. And Melanchthon said, one day he said, old Adam is just too much for young Melanchthon. In other words, our flesh is just too much for ourselves. You cannot fight against your flesh and win. But thank God there is a secret. And the secret is Christ has already won. You remember in Romans chapter 6, it said, knowing that our old man was crucified with him. Our old man was crucified. There on the cross, Christ has taken us with him and crucified it on the cross. And for this reason, by the prayer of faith, we are joined to the finished work of Christ. And Galatians chapter 5 said, they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. So the only way to overcome your flesh, brothers and sisters, remember, not by your own struggling. I think we all have that kind of experience. Even Paul in Romans chapter 7 has shown us what that is. He said, what I want to do, I cannot do. What I do not want to do, I do it. And he discovered that in him that is in his flesh, there is no good. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? Thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Fighting against the flesh. That is the experience of every believer as you go on in this heavenly journey. If you have never fought against your flesh, it means that you are living and walking according to the flesh. He that walks according, live according to the flesh is dead. But he that walks according to the Spirit is life and peace. So I do hope that no one here has never had any experience of fighting against the flesh. In other words, he always yields to his own flesh. Now, if that's the case, it means you are a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian. You are a babe in Christ. You never grow. If you want to really grow, I believe that the first thing in your experience in following the Lord, you will discover how strong is the flesh in you. Now, sometimes you do not discover how strong the flesh in you is until you discover how strong it is in other people. But when you see how strong it is in other people, now do remember it is just as strong in you. And how we need to be delivered from the tyranny, from the bondage of our flesh. But how are we going to do this? Well, the life in us is a fighting life. The Spirit of God within us will urge us to fight against the flesh. And how are we to overcome it? By claiming that we were dead in Christ. And we are now alive unto God in Christ Jesus. As you take that stand, as you reckon yourself as dead unto sin, and as alive unto God, as you, by prayer, join yourself to the victory of Christ, you find you prevail. But when your hands are weary, in other words, when you are not joining yourself with the finished work of Christ by faith and prayer, immediately you find you will be defeated. So this is the nature of the fight. Now, one thing you need to remember. Here you find Joshua defeated Amalek. But that was not the end. It was just one battle. You find throughout the history of Israel, the Amalek was a continuous problem to the children of God. That's the reason why you find Moses, after the victory over the Amalek, God said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens. In other words, here God said, now remember, this is just one battle. There will be more battles with Amalek until the name of Amalek is completely annulled, is completely destroyed, blot out under the heaven. God's will is the flesh will be completely blot out, completely cast us out, so that we may live in the Spirit and not anymore living according to the flesh. So the struggle will continue on. But always remember how the battle is fought. Never forget how the battle is fought. On the one hand, you're really fighting, and yet on the other hand, it really does not depend upon your fighting. It really depends upon what Christ has done, and you just stand in His victory. And Moses built an altar and called the name of the place Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah, my banner, under the banner of the Lord. The Lord will fight against Amalek from generation to generation until He blots them out completely. Now, thank God for that. Now, this is the first mentioning of Joshua, a soldier of the Lord. The second mentioning of Joshua is when Moses went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, the law. You know, we often We are familiar with the story of Moses, how God called Moses to the mountain, and there he waited upon God 40 days and 40 nights without eating and drinking, and there he was waiting upon the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights until God gave him the Ten Commandments. And of course, we knew the story, know the story very well. But do you know, when God called Moses to the mountain, it is true he told Moses to tell the people that nobody else should be in that mountain. Even the beast that shall come near to the mountain will be slain. And because of this, there was fear upon the people. But let me ask you a question. Was Moses alone on the mountain with God when he received the Ten Commandments? He was not. Why? Because the Bible said Moses, when he went to the mountain, his attendant Joshua went with him. That is in Exodus chapter 24. Actually, Joshua went up to the mountain with Moses. Now, Joshua didn't go to the top of the mountain, but he was somewhere on the mountain. He was not with the people. He was on a mountain somewhere, not as high up as Moses, because Moses was alone there receiving the Ten Commandments. And yet you find that Joshua was on the mountain. How do you know? Not only in Exodus chapter 24 we find this, but in Exodus chapter 32 you find that when God told Moses that people have sinned, go down to the mountain, from the mountain. And when Moses came down, he met Joshua there. And Joshua, as they came down together, now Joshua heard a sound, and being a soldier, you know, his first reaction is there must be a fighting there. No, that's a soldier's instinct. He interprets everything in the terms of fighting. So when he heard the noises there, he said, "There must be a fighting there." Oh, Moses, who knew much better, he said, "No, I didn't hear the noise of victory or the noise of defeat. It is a noise of music playing and all these things." So they came down from the mountain. Brothers and sisters, do you realize that when the children of Israel worshiped the golden calf, Joshua was not involved? All the children of Israel fell into that sin. Moses was on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. The only one that did not partake in the worship of the golden calf was Joshua. Why? Because he was there on the mountain with Moses. You know, in the New Testament times, twice our Lord Jesus took three of his disciples with him. Once he took three of his disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration. But sadly, because of the greatness of the glory, the three disciples went to sleep. Now, can you think of that? It was such a tremendous time, and they went to sleep, because the glory was too much for them. And then another time, he took the same three disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Lord said, "Wait here with me for an hour." But the shame, the pressure was so great, they went to sleep again. The weakness of the flesh couldn't stand either glory or shame. But here was Joshua, 40 days and 40 nights. When Moses was waiting upon the Lord, he was waiting with Moses upon the Lord. Do you know, Moses, when he was waiting upon the Lord without eating and drinking, the same thing might happen to Joshua. Here he was in the presence of the Lord. And he was kept from worshipping the golden calf. After this thing happened, in chapter 33 of the book of Exodus, because the camp of God was defiled. You know, the children of Israel, the congregation of God, was called the camp of God. The children of Israel were considered as the camp of God. But the camp of God was defiled. Defiled by sin. And even though Moses punished them in a sense that they must drink their own sin, he crushed the golden calf into powders and scattered them upon the water and asked the children of Israel to drink of the water. In other words, to drink of their own sin. And there was discipline. How the tribe of Levi stood out at the door of the camp. The camp was defiled. They came out to the door of the camp. And then they went into the camp and slay whoever they met in order to purify the camp. But even so, you remember Moses removed his tent out of the camp and pitched it outside the camp. And this tent was called the tent of meeting. Why? Because God appeared and met Moses there. He talked to him face to face. Because of the sin of the children of Israel, the camp was defiled. Moses' tent was moved out of the camp. And God met him outside the camp. In the tent of meeting. Because God is holy. When Moses went out to meet God, he went to the tent to meet God. But the wonderful thing was, the young man Joshua, his attendant, never departed from within the tent. Brothers and sisters, do you want to know the secret of spiritual strength? Why is it that Joshua was such a good soldier? There was such strength in him to fight against the enemy. Do you want to know how can we have that spiritual strength in us that we may be able to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ? You know the secret. The secret is abiding. Abiding. Now, you may think that abiding and fighting are two opposites. Because fighting is full of noises and excitement. And abiding, there is a quietness. There is a tranquility. And yet, you know, in spiritual terms, fighting and abiding must go together. In other words, you cannot fight the enemy if you do not abide in Christ. Fighting is exhausting. But waiting upon the Lord will renew your strength. You know, the problem today is we want to go to fight and yet we do not abide in the presence of the Almighty. And if we do that, we are fighting in our own strength. And you'll find very soon the enemy will overcome us. Usually it is not easy for a young man to stay alone on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, not even seeing Moses, because Moses was way up in the cloud. Usually it's not easy for a young man to stay alone in the tent outside the camp because he missed all the excitement. But here you find the secret in a fight. We are exhorted to fight the good fight. But how? Do you sometimes wonder why is it that there is no strength in you? No spiritual strength in you? Do you wonder sometimes after a fight you get so exhausted? And there is no renewing. You know why? It is because you lack a life of abiding. Oh, we need to abide in Christ. If we learn to abide in Christ, that is to make our home in Christ. Joshua never departed from within the tent. He made that tent home. And that tent was the tent of meeting. That tent was the tent where God appeared. And brothers and sisters, how we need that kind of life. In our daily life, we need to learn to abide in Christ. We need to learn to make our home in Him. God has put us in Him. And now we need to live in Him. And if we have constant communion and fellowship with Him, if we are alone with Him, away from all the hustle and bustle of life, all the noises of battles, and just be before the Lord, and you know, this is the time when your strength is renewed, when you receive that spiritual strength for you to fight against all the enemies. Joshua lived an abiding life. And I believe that is the secret. Now the third mentioning of Joshua was in Numbers, chapter 13 and 14. Chapter 14. And there you'll find the children of Israel, they came to the southern border of the promised land, Kadesh Barnea. And there Moses sent 12 spies to spy out the land. And of the 12 spies you'll find Joshua was one of them. Joshua of the tribe of Ephraim. And Caleb of the tribe of Judah. You find that 12 spies went into the promised land to spy out the land. And when they came back, they gave a report. They said the land that we investigated is certainly a very, very good land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. And look at the fruits that we brought back. But the 10 spies said, but there we found cities whose walls reach up to heaven. And we saw these Anakims, giants. They look upon us as grasshoppers. And we look upon ourselves as grasshoppers. If we go in, we will be completely swallowed up by them. It is a land that will swallow us up. And when they brought that bad news to the people, of course the people wept. Oh, they began to rebel. And here you'll find Joshua and Caleb. They quieted the people and say, no, no. The land is very, very good. Now, don't think of the enemies. If God is pleased with us, He will give the land to us. We will be able to take the land, and our enemies shall be our food. Instead of their swallowing us, we will swallow them and digest them and become our strength. Just trust in the Lord. Don't rebel against the Lord. But because of this, the people wanted to stone them to death. And the Lord appeared. Now, what is it that we learn here concerning Joshua as a good soldier of the Lord? You know, in spiritual battle, it is not a matter of how strong the enemy is, nor the matter of how weak we are. In spiritual battle, That which matters is only one thing. If God is pleased with us. You know, oftentimes, when we are engaged in spiritual conflict, what we notice is the strength of the enemy. Oh, we find the enemy are so strong. They are so tall, like giants. Or sometimes, we notice how weak we are. We are so small like grasshoppers. We'll be crushed. When we look at ourselves, or we look at the enemies, or when we look at the circumstances, the walls reach up to heaven, we are already defeated. But remember, in spiritual conflict, there is only one thing that really matters. And the one thing is God pleased with us? If God is pleased with us because we are in His will, then the land will be taken and the enemy will be our food. But if we displease God, then what happens? If we displease God, if we go out of His will, what will happen? We will lose the strength of God. We will be defeated. So that is the only thing that we need to be concerned with. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are involved in a spiritual battle. But don't be frightened. Even though our enemy is strong, that is true. You remember Martin Luther? When he went to that Diet of Worm, he went there to be judged, and there were the emperor and all these lords and all these cardinals and all these great men there. And here was Martin Luther, a poor monk. But he said, even though the enemies are like the tiles on the roof, he is not afraid. Because God is with him. You know, the secret is here. As long as God is with you, as long as you are in His will, as long as He is pleased with you, no one can stand against you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now this is our confidence. God has not given you the spirit of fear. If you are afraid, you are defeated before the battle is waged. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us the spirit of courage, of love, of wise discretion or sound mind. You cannot fight a fight if you do not have confidence in your commander-in-chief. Keep your eyes away from looking anywhere but at Him. If we keep our eyes on Him, brothers and sisters, no one can stand against us. And this is the spirit of Joshua. This is the spirit of soldiering. If we want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. Look up unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we have the confidence, if we are in the will of God, and God is pleased with us, no enemy can stand in our way. The only thing we really need to search our hearts before the Lord is, lest we have displeased Him. And you know later on, in the fight against Ai, you see what it is. Because they have displeased the Lord. Even the enemy is little, few, they were defeated. Do not put confidence in yourselves, nor overestimate your enemy, but just trust in the Lord. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are living at this time. Not only we find conflicts going on around the world, worldwide, but actually you find that conflicts going on within and without, everywhere, on earth, in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm, in the physical realm. We are here in the midst of all conflicts, but brothers and sisters, one thing we need to remember, do not be afraid. Fear not. The Lord said, fear not, I'm with you. And some people count, fear not, I'm with you in the New Testament, and they say it 365 times. Fear not, fear not. Because He is with us. But are we with Him? There is no doubt He is with us. But are we with Him? If we are with Him, have confidence that we will overcome. And it is that kind of spirit that gives us the victory. So, brothers and sisters, thank God we have a life that wins. And we have a home that we may dwell in. And we have a spirit of courage, of love, of sound mind. And with that kind of provisions, how can we be defeated? May the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast enlisted us in Thy army. And we praise and thank Thee because Thy army is a victorious army. It fights from victory to victory. Thou hast already overcome, and Thou art overcoming in and through us. Oh, do show us the life that Thou hast given to us. Do enable us to take Thy word and believe in Thee. Do enable us to look off unto Thyself. Do draw us that we may dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen.